Welcome again to the house of the Lord. Thank you guys for being here. Today's going to be a little bit different. As we announced before service, for those who came in a little late, this is our one-year anniversary of Revive Outreach Church. And I wanted to take today to celebrate what happened in the last year, to reflect on what God did the last year, all of the things that we went through and the things that happened and the things that we participated in, and also look, more importantly, to look at the future and to give you an idea of what my heart is and my vision is and what God's placed me with, and that hasn't changed, but just to reiterate it as we walk into this brand new year. Revive Outreach Church was born from a desire to reach people, a desire to not be like other churches, to be contained within four walls of a building or be limited to what was done inside the doors of a building, but to branch out beyond that. Our theme verse, our verse that we use, is Psalms 119, found in Psalm 119, it's verse 37, and it says, "Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things, and revive me in your way." It's such a perfect verse that describes my heart, because we live in a world that has forgotten God, or feels that they do not need God, a world that has become so self-sufficient and content with what they have that they feel like they don't need God, or they're so focused on things going on in your life, in their life, that they can't focus on God. Things that have no eternal value, worthless things. And my prayer for myself, my prayer for you, my prayer for this community is to take our eyes off of the things that have no eternal value and to focus on things that do have eternal value. Things that matter, things that are important, our relationship with God, developing our relationship with Him and seeing people turn to Him for peace and comfort and joy and healing instead of running to every other source and to every other place for those things, to know that they can come to God, and we want to be that refuge for them to be able to come to and feel peace and be loved on, a place where they can be safe, where they can be themselves, where they know that God is real.
Amen.
That He's not some imaginary being or some arbitrary far-off thought or presence, but that He is real, that He's right here with us, yes, and that He can make a difference in our lives and in your lives and in the lives of those around us.
Amen.
The people through us would see God's love.
Amen.
The people through us would know God's mercy. We're hurt people, but we can help hurt people.
Yes.
God didn't want perfect people. He wanted hurt people that can help hurt people.
Amen.
I can't help someone who's hurting unless I hurt myself. I can't help someone who's been through something unless I've been through something myself. And so Amen. God wishes to use our weaknesses and our shortcomings and our experiences to reach beyond our four walls out into a lost and a dying world.
Amen.
My heart is to reach people, to see people saved every Sunday. When I pray over the offering, I always say that it would be used for to see the lost saved or found, and to see the naked clothed and the hungry fed, to see the sick healed and the oppressed uplifted and the depressed set free. That is my cry. That an impact would be made so strong in this area that all of those things would happen.
Amen.
And as I stand before you today, the things that began to happen towards the end of last year were a distraction from that mission, from that vision. Getting too busy worrying about new buildings, worrying about construction, worrying about all these things when God told me from the beginning that our mission, that our job was to reach people, not build buildings. My heart, as I lay it before you today, is to start 2014 with the excitement and the enthusiasm and the passion and the burden and the drive and the strength that we use to start 2013. To have the passion that we had in December when we sat together and began to plan this thing out. To have the drive that we had and the excitement that we had when we had this first service at this spot 1 year ago. To reach people and allow God to handle everything else. When we look over the past year, we've had many things that we've been involved in, many things that our church has participated in. We participated in Planet Wisdom with the teens, and that was such an awesome experience. We had lots of teens participate in that, and lives touched and changed. And the last year, we've had over 10 students either give their lives to Christ the first time or rededicate their lives to Christ. And that's amazing thing since January of 2013. 10 students that rededicated themselves to Christ or made a first-time commitment. That's what we're here for. Amen. That's our job. Amen. Our job is to change lives. Amen. And I was talking with my sister-in-law. She had it yesterday. We were discussing the church and what God has done. And she brought up very awesomely, she doesn't, an impact that it had on me that I just don't think about all the time, and that is the impact that people who go out of here have on others. And because of that, we've added members. We've seen new teenagers come on Wednesday nights. We've seen lives changed and lives touched because of people who were touched by the ministry of Revive Outreach Church. There's ministry that you and I cannot even see or comprehend or understand that takes place because people are touched here by God's grace and mercy and love, and they take that love and that grace and that mercy and they share it with others. Amen. We had our first revival service in March. And the one significant thing that came out for me from that service, God touched and moved in a very special way. But one thing God did for me in that service that I want to remind myself and all of you is this. On the very first night, the evangelist, without any conversation previous with me regarding things that had been said, or we had lunch together, but we didn't really talk about the struggles or anything, just my vision for the body. And that night, I prayed to God. There had been a verse that God had kind of kept putting in multiple people's minds over and over again. There was a message in tongues, with that being the interpretation, and that was this, where God said to Joshua, wherever the soles of your feet touch, I have given it to you. And I prayed to God before the service. I said, God, if that is true, if that was you who was speaking, you know that I've had no conversation with this man. Let him say it to me. And he called me forward on that night and he prayed that he said to me exactly that phrase, that wherever we set our feet, God has already given it to us. I think that as we said in the service today, it's important to reflect on how God has spoken to us over the last year.
Amen.
The things that he has done.
Yes.
I never told him that verse, I never told him any of that. I just prayed, God, if it's true, if that was really you, let someone speak it. Who does not know that it has been spoken? And he did. God moved in such a special way during that service, and I remember feeling like Mark was going to be such a big deal. And when I look back upon it, I know that it started with that promise. That promise that God would give us what we prayed for, what we sought after, walk out in step, out in faith of wherever we place them. The sole of our feet, God, would give it to us in our communities, in our families. Not just buildings or places, but people. People's lives when I set a foot in the lives of people that God and God alone would minister to them in such a way that their lives would be changed for Him.
Amen.
When we look past the last year, we did a community Easter egg hunt and had well over 200 people and children and families participate in that. We had a Mother's Day lunch and we celebrated the graduation of our teens, and we did a 30-hour famine. The teenagers and those who worked in the church, they raised for the second year in a row. They raised money. The kids went without food for 30 hours straight and raised over $3,800 for children who were impoverished. In 2 years, they raised almost $10,000, the students in our youth ministry, working hard to raise money. I'm so very proud of them. That's working out beyond the four walls of our church. That's ministering to people who we can't see and who we can't touch, but we know that God wants to touch. That's being the hands and the feet of God. And we may never know the impact that that makes until I walk through the gates of heaven. But I do know this, that we will and have reached people simply by loving, caring, and being obedient to God. And we've done many other things throughout the year, camping trips and youth group activities and all of these awesome things. We've done Operation Christmas Child, where we packed over 280 boxes that were packed by you guys to ship overseas. And Mom, where did the boxes, some of them go?
Ecuador.
People who don't get Christmas presents. People who don't get toys. They get hand-me-downs and leftovers, but they got brand new presents. And not only did they get presents, inside every single box was the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they are given a Sunday school discipleship type class with the workbook that's provided. And kids' lives are changed and they're reached and they make differences and impacts. And that's something that we cannot measure until we get to heaven.
Amen.
God has done awesome things. He provided us a facility at a really reduced rate. Incredibly reduced rate. And we've had issues and we've gone through stuff. But I still believe that that was a gift from God. God provided and put people in our lives to help us in situations where we could not navigate on our own. Sister Nancy stumbled upon an architectural firm on Angie's List and contacted them, and they've been awesome. It turned out that one of them believes in God and he's really about helping churches, and they've gone way above and beyond helping us in a lot of ways. Help us navigate waters that we could not navigate on our own. And even though we've had issues with the landlord and the new space, he's still done things to help us out. He put up our sign, which was well over $5,600 to install it and everything. He paid for half of our wall that we had to put in, which had to be a firewall. Things like that. He's helped us and he's tried. But it's up to God to do the rest. We have done so much and been involved in so much in the last year, and God's moved in our services. God's moved. We've seen people touched and their lives changed. And I want 2014 to be more than that. I want 2014 to be a year where we really impact lives for Christ. That people are changed, ministered to do more in 2014. I want to see 20 young people get saved in 2014. We had adults accept Christ as Lord and Savior. This church, not even realizing, just the church being formed was an impact on the life of my wife and her sister's grandfather. You guys don't even know about that, but he accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. And it all started with the idea of a church starting and him and I having conversations. That's amazing. He never got to come to a service, but God moved in his life through the idea of a ministry that wasn't self-centered or inward-focused, but was about reaching people outside of ourselves. An idea, a vision, a mission of doing something different than the rest of the world. Imagine the impact that God can have in our communities if we will take that approach and apply it in our everyday lives. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18 says, "My little children, I tell you, do not love only in word and in tongue, but love in deed and in truth." Let's not just talk about it in 2014. Let's not just discuss it or have ideas. But in 2014, let's every single day live our lives in deed and in truth. That every relationship that we form at work, in our families, in our communities, that we would serve others and love and serve them in deed and in truth. Our vision statement is to revive the awareness of Christ through compassion, service, and evangelism.
Amen.
We're called to love people, to serve people, and tell them about the good news of Jesus Christ. Not the opposite way. You gotta love people first.
Amen.
And then you gotta serve them. You gotta show them that love through deeds and actions and being there. And then through that, they will see the love of God reflected in your life so that they can be told about God and how He cared for them. See, some people don't believe in God because they don't have kind words said to them. They don't see the good side of this world. They only see pain and suffering and hurt and abuse. But if you and I can show them love and peace and joy and strength, they can begin to say, maybe there is a God who loves me, a God who cares about me, a God who will do something with my life.
Amen.
But it requires me not being what's the right word? Apathetic.
Yeah.
It requires me to have passion and a desire and a burden to make a difference in the influence that I have.
Amen.
Oh God, that you would allow us Revive Outreach Church to truly love people the way that you love people. God, to serve people the way that you served people. In Jesus' name. For the future, one of the things that we've talked about and I really want to do in the coming year is partner with other organizations that already have programs that are working to not reinvent the wheel. We have local programs in our area like Micah House and the homeless shelter that we've actually had some people begin to visit us from, that we can leverage those existing ministries and assist them and help them and learn along the way. Because I got to tell you, while I have a desire to feed the hungry, clothe the homeless, and minister to their needs, I don't know how. But we have opportunities where we can partner. They're what partners to get in there and help them and work with them, not just money, but I mean go there and pack lunches. The youth group is actually, last year, or in 2012, they packed food, emergency first aid kits, and emergency food kits. This year, we packed emergency first aid kits for Micah House. They don't want a handout. They want people to work. They want people to come and make lunches and serve and do these other things. They don't want just money. And we can learn from them.
Amen.
If we partner with them. We can learn to minister to the homeless. We can learn to minister to the hurting. Minister to needs that you and I cannot understand because we've never experienced it. But we can do that by partnering with other ministries and learning from them. So that when the time comes and God gives us the opportunity and opens the door, that we can do those things with excellence based on experience that we've already gained. And we've already been making a difference in our community by helping these other folks. Amen. Guys, I have such a big vision and desire to be able to do clinics and dental care and child care for single mothers looking for jobs or working and just all kinds of services to our community. But we have to start somewhere.
Amen.
And starting somewhere is looking for what's being done in front of you and joining in and helping people. In our children's ministry, they work very hard every week. And Miss Kelly, I want to actually ask her to come up. Yeah, come on up. And just talk briefly about what they did last year. About the Four Winds ministry and that thing. Just a few minutes, huh?
Okay. I'm really excited about what the children's ministry has been doing. We've been going through the Bible. We started in Genesis a little over a year ago. And we've been going through that, and we just finished Leviticus. And I think that if some of us adults would be going through the Bible with the children, they could give you a run for your money with what they've learned. Actually, when we started the book of Leviticus about a month and a half, 2 months ago, I almost said, oh, well, we'll just skip this book. Because who wants to learn about Leviticus? It's just too crazy. Well, Billy might. But as I started to study it, I realized in my studies that it was a really interesting book to learn because it's got a lot of parallels with Jesus and with what Jesus came to do. So we went through it, and the children really enjoyed a lot of what we learned. So next thing we're going to start is Numbers. So they've had a lot of fun going through each book of the Bible, and I think it's important for them to learn book by book, because the Word says that every portion of Scripture is important for us to know, and it's good for teaching. And as we go through, they're seeing that there's really interesting stuff in the Bible. And some of the things that we've learned, they've been like, wow, it's more interesting than any books that they've read or seen on TV. So we don't skip any of the yucky stuff. That's the stuff that they like the best. So they even learned that there are zombies in the Bible. So so they're really having a lot of fun with that, and we're having a really good time. And it takes a while to go through when you go week by week, but it's worth it. For them to learn that reading through the Bible is fun, and you get closer to God by doing it. So that's the most exciting thing that we've been doing in Children's Church, is going through the Bible book by book. We also have been doing the ministry with Four Winds that's up in Minnesota. Miss Lily comes in once a month, and she does Mission Sunday. And her focus is we collect change. It's called Change for Change. And so anytime you guys are cleaning out your car or your couch or anything like that, and you find change, go ahead and donate it into the Children's Church. We have a jug, and we collect change, and every time we fill up the change jar, we have a celebration of some sort. So, and then all that money goes to, it's an Indian reservation home where they take care of children, foster children. And they can use the money for whatever they need to fill up oil tanks or buy the children's school supplies or whatever they need it for. And there's 7 children, Ms. Litt? How many children?
12.
12 children. 12 children that they are taking care of there at the foster home. So, and they'll send us letters and pictures, and the children have even colored pictures and sent them back to us before. So that's something that is a lot of fun. And when we did our Operation Christmas Child boxes, we actually made boxes for those children as well and sent them up there. So that's that's been a really great thing that we've done as well. We also just did our little Christmas program, and the kids worked really hard on learning their songs and did an awesome job with that, so I'm very proud of them. And one other thing that we're going to start doing, since they really enjoyed learning those songs, is we are going to start learning a song probably every quarter to sing with the youth group praise and worship team. So I've already got a song picked out for the next one that we're going to do. And we'll start learning that song in Children's Church as well. So that's it.
I wanted Kelly to come up and talk because, you know, she's in there on Sunday mornings and she teaches on Wednesday nights. And, you know, you who have parents, if you talk to your kids, you kind of know what they're doing. But those of us who sit out here, we don't know what they're doing back there all the time and what they're involved in. And they're making a difference. I know my son in particular, any change in the house belongs to him. He's putting it in his piggy bank so that he can bring it in for change for change. I know there are other kids that are exactly the same way. And I don't know how much, but how many checks have we written to them this year?
Two. We did $690.
$690. I mean, that's your kids. Collected change, adults. That's awesome. That's awesome, awesome, awesome. And, I mean, it just blows my mind, you know, that God is using such a small little church to make such impacts. That God knows we're not selfish. Excuse me. One of the things that Kelly mentioned that I did forget to mention is that in August, there was a praise and worship youth praise and worship team that was started. Mr. Matt and Ms. Dancy have been working with them on that. Curtis has kind of been taking the lead. Several of the kids who don't come actually on Sunday mornings are participating in it. They have other churches on Sunday mornings, but they come on Wednesday nights. And we actually are very excited because they're going to start playing every Wednesday night, nothing happens the Lord's will, starting the first Wednesday in February. So we're really excited about that. One of the other things that we're talking about doing, talking to Ms. Kelly about, is once a quarter doing a youth service on Sunday mornings, a youth and children's service on Sunday mornings, with skits and the praise and worship team from the youth do praise and worship, and trying to get our kids and our teenagers more up front to show that they're doing stuff, and they're working hard, and, you know, our kids are doing things, and our teens are doing stuff, learning about God. The music ministry, I'm so grateful to Miss Nancy and Mr. Matt and Mr. Linda and Miss Kim, who come here every Sunday and they sing and they play and, you know, appreciate everything that they've done. Appreciate Mom, the Greenfield Senior Living. We've been calling assisted living. It's called, the Fat Out the Place is actually called Senior Living. We've been, Mom and Matt and Nancy and Pete and Miss Kim, their families have been going there the first Sunday of every month. You officially started up in what? Because there was some confusion, like March? Because I know that there was some, but they pretty much all of last year, for the majority of last year, every month going to the assisted living, the senior living center, and ministering to those people. And they love to sing songs. They, you know, Mom prepares a little devotion every week, and they love to meet people and talk to people. They just love the interaction. And, you know, we want to get involved in more stuff like that. I know at the homeless shelter, the couple of people have started coming to our church from, they welcome churches to come in and prepare meals, to come in and do Bible studies with those people. That's something that you and I can start doing right now to make a difference and impact our community for Christ. It's just, we got to stop talking about it, and let's go do it. And we can start ministering to people's lives. Look, like any pastor, I want to see the church grow, and I want to see every seat filled, and I want to have 10 million people. That's actually not true, because the stress of just 20 people is, you know. But like every pastor, I want to see church grow. But I can tell you this. My biggest priority is to see people saved. Amen. And that's why Wednesday nights, from the very beginning, I've never tried to pull kids out of their other youth groups. They come on their own, and I never pressured them to come on Sunday mornings, because I just want to reach people. right? I just want to see people saved. I want to see people lives changing. You know, most kids that come on Wednesday nights that go somewhere else on Sunday mornings, maybe they take something with them that they learn on Wednesday nights and they can share it with people on Sunday mornings. I believe that we can work together. We can't do what God wants us to do if we're threatened by other ministries and churches. It was never supposed to be that way. We're never supposed to be threatened by other ministries and churches and pastors and whatever. You can't reach people for Christ efficiently and make the impact that God wants to have made if we're afraid to work with other people. And I'm not afraid.
Amen.
I'm not ashamed. I'm not embarrassed. I'm not jealous. God, move! And let Him handle the consequences.
Amen.
I know this morning was different, and I know that I didn't really preach a message, but I kind of did, and I cried and sobbed and everything. But, you know, more than ever, we need to be on our knees in prayer and seeking God.
Amen.
Because the attacks of the enemy really turned up at the end of last year. And they've continued right on into this year. I know the devil is trying to distract what we have to do. And I don't want to let him. I'm tired of letting him.
Amen.
You know? But the only way we can fight him is fighting together on our knees in prayer.
Amen.
Thank you.